This is the NAB AFL Trade Radio Podcast. For NAB, supporting footballers from Auskick to the big time.
Chris is the football boss at Port Adelaide. He's on the line. Thanks for your time, CD.
No worries. Good morning, guys.
Hasn't even started yet. Starts Monday, but it gets bigger and bigger every year.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It's been a fascinating, you know, period of time where, as you say, it doesn't start until Monday, but there's certainly a fair bit of talk about it. After the grand final, attention quickly turns to the trade period, doesn't it?
You've asked this question or been asked many times about Chad Wingard. Where does it sit? You are waiting for Chad to make up his mind about where he wants to play his footy, but Chris, does there come a time where the club needs to demand an answer from Chad? And if that's the case, when is that time frame?
Yeah, look, I don't think there's a time where we need to demand an answer, because at the end of the day, Chad is contracted for 2019. So, look, I'm really pragmatic about these situations. You know, we're talking about the trade period right now before it's even started. I think where the contracts have got to in the AFL competition is that with a year to go, whether it's the player or the manager or the club in some instances, they look at what they could potentially get in a year's time and work back from there. So, look, there's no need for Chad to say anything other right now. That if he wants to go, well, you know, he can let us know that at an appropriate time. But otherwise, we plan for him to be at the club in 2019.
Chris, can you take us back to the start, though, with Chad? Did he initiate with you that he wanted to look around, or did you say to Chad, you know, that you know, if there's an opportunity for him to find a club and it works for Port Adelaide as well, that you'd be happy to trade him? How did it all start with that?
Where the conversation goes with all these things, Matt, you can either suggest that it doesn't happen, or you can actually work with what you know does happen. And we've been in situations. We were in a couple of years ago where we had one of our players, Hamish Hartland, who was coming out of contract, and clubs at the time came really hard at him. And you make an assessment at that point to say, well, mate, have a look what's out there and come back to us. At the end of the day, if a player doesn't want to leave, then you know, I heard your discussions earlier about trading players in contract. You can't do that. So unless, you know, Chad gets to a point where he's got an offer on the table that would suggest he wants to leave, we plan for him to stay in 2019. We're certainly not, you know, going to force Chad out. If he wants to stay at our footy club in 2019, he'll be here.
But it sounds like, Chris, if you get a deal that satisfies Port Adelaide, you would trade Chad Wingard.
Well, we're not the first cab off the rank in all of this, Chad is. You know, so fundamentally, Chad's got to have an offer that would suggest that he wants to go. And right now, that's not the conversation that we're having. So, you know, that will play out over the coming days and weeks, I'm sure. But you know, I think it's really important to understand that in all of this, you're talking about players' lives. You're talking about players potentially who need to uproot their lives. So, you know, we're happy to be really pragmatic in this situation and allow someone like Chad to make an assessment himself.
But he hasn't said yet that he wants to play his footy at Port Adelaide, as some reports suggested earlier in the week. He hasn't given you that guarantee yet.
No, he hasn't. And again, I'd say, in fairness to Chad, he's contracted for next year. So if we were asking all of our players to recommit for next year, it'd be a lengthy process. Right now, there's nothing to suggest that Chad Wingard wants to leave our footy club. So until that's the case, we can continue to deal in hypothetical situations. But, it's Chad's prerogative to have a look at what his long-term future is, as it is with every player at every club. And I'm really pragmatic about those situations.
Last one on Chad Wingard, we promised, Chris. He's been linked to the Western Bulldogs and the Hawthorn Football Club. Do you start dealing with those clubs already in regards to a trade with Chad?
No. Simply, you know, until Chad, as I said before, until Chad suggests that he doesn't want to be at our footy club anymore, there's no point having a discussion with anyone. We're really confident right now that you know, allowing Chad to have a look at his long-term options is the best outcome for all parties. So, and his manager, Tom Petruro, is obviously, you know, one of the best in the business. You know, we've got a good relationship with him. He manages a number of our high-profile players. So there won't be any surprises in this when, you know, if Chad gets to a point where he thinks he wants to leave, well, you know, we'll have that discussion when we need to have it. But right now, we don't necessarily think that's going to be the case, and we plan for him to be at our footy club in 2019.
Chris Scott-Lysette is a player who we strongly believe will be on his way to Alberton next year. Reports that he's having a medical at the club today. Can you confirm that? And also, the length of that deal, is it you're looking at 5 years for Scott-Lysette to bolster your ruck division alongside Paddy Ryder?
Yeah, we're certainly interested. If Scott-Lysette wants to leave the West Coast Eagles, then we would want to be at, you know, if not at the front of the queue, not too far away from it. He's a player who, you know, has had a really good season. Is a player who is of interest to us. He's a Port Adelaide junior. We have an understanding of Scott and his career so far. So if he decides to make a move from the West Coast, then we would want to be involved in that conversation. So, you know, I'm not going to talk about the specifics of, you know, what offers he's got on the table, other than to say that, you know, generally speaking, when players move through free agency, it's, you know, it's normally a longer term sort of offer, and you know, we've been really clear with his management from the start that we have an interest in Scott Lysette.
Is he in town today, Chris, and has he met with Ken Hinckley yet?
My understanding is yes, he's probably had a discussion with Ken over the last little bit, and you know, before any club finalises a deal in these situations, you've obviously got to go through a process of medicals and so on and so forth. So, you know, before the free agency period opens, if we were to be going down that path, then you'd want to have all of your ducks in a row, yes.
Did his mindset shift, Scott Lysette, post the grand final victory?
Look, I haven't spoken to him since then, so I think that's a conversation you guys have probably got to have with him, but I think it's fair to say that until decisions are finally made, that people have opportunity to change their mind. I've no doubt that winning a premiership at a club is a life-changing experience. So, but look, as I say, if Scott Lysette wanted to leave the West Coast Eagles, we want to be at the front of the queue.
I want to talk about your midfield, Chris, because if we're talking about weaknesses, I think that's probably where it lies in terms of too many similar types in there: Paupepa, Ebert, Rockcliffe, Wines, Boak, contested animals, but probably lack a bit of polish on the outside. Is your priority in this draft to bring in some quality midfielders who have outside speed and class?
I think it's fair to say that that's the type of player that we're going to be looking for throughout the trade period and also the drafting period. You know, you haven't mentioned Jared Pollock yet. I'm sure you're going to get to that. But, you know, if Jared decides to go down the path that he is at the moment with North Melbourne, then, you know, there's another player that I imagine you would lump in the basket of leaving the club who has those similar sort of traits. So fair to say that, you know, we would identify that area as an area that we've got to continue to look at ways that we can improve.
So while we're talking about Jared Pollock, so you wait now for the offer that's come from North Melbourne to see what, first of all, if you want to match it, and then what selection you'll be given?
Well, Pollock's not a free agent. He's got to be traded in this circumstance. So, look, the reality is we've been working with North Melbourne talking with North Melbourne, as Jared has highlighted, that's the club that he wants to go to. So we've been talking to them for a period of time now. We're still a little way away, but understanding that North want to get the deal done, I can't imagine that that something, you know, doesn't get sorted out, considering the priority, I guess, they've put on Jared along the way from a contract perspective. You know, I think that that deal gets done at some point in the trade period.
Seems a straight one for me. North Melbourne's pick 10 or 11, whichever it falls, for a player they're going to invest heavily in. What's the hold-up?
The hold-up is the trade period hasn't started yet, and I think, in fairness to North, they sound like they've got a fair bit going. So, you know, I reckon you're right around the mark there, Kane. You know, we would suggest that there's a price to pay for someone like Jared. I don't think that their first pick is something that we would be unfair in asking for. You know, I think, in fairness, North are considering that at the moment. It's probably just more about you know, what they would want in return for that. So you know, that'll play out over the next little bit, and Jason Cripps and the North Melbourne representatives, I'm sure, will sort that out.
Just on Jack Hompsh, a player that you've told is free to explore his options. Has he come to you and said that he's exploring a potential move to the Gold Coast? It's been reported, and expecting Jack to be at your footy club next year?
Yeah, well, Mitch, I mean, Jack is a guy who, you know, I'm sure you guys know him. He's a fantastic man. And so from, you know, that perspective, you know, we had a conversation with Homshi towards the end of the year, which was to say, mate, look, we understand if you want to take, you know, real control of your career right now. You know, you've played probably half the games this year. You know, we see you fighting for a spot with, you know, a couple of others in a role that we've got a little bit of depth in. So, you know, up to you to make the decisions on your career and into the future. So, again, you know, we're not in a position where, you know, we're pushing anyone to the point where they feel like they've necessarily got to leave. But, you know, Homer is one who will need to make his mind up over the next period of time, depending on the offers that he actually has in front of him.
And we heard Carl Amon's manager speak yesterday, probably in a similar boat, to be fair. Chris, has any clubs expressed an interest in recruiting Carl Amon?
Yeah, I think Carl's got a couple of, you know, options that he would like to explore. And as you say, he's another one of those guys who, you know, he had a little bit of an injury interrupted year this year, but, you know, over the course of the last four or five has probably played, you know, half of the games. And I think he's in a position with a year to go on his contract that he wants to have a look at what is out there longer term as well. So, again, you know, we take a really pragmatic approach in that situation. We're not in the business of losing our players for nothing, but at the same time, you know, you've got to have an insight into what the player is going through, and you know, I don't begrudge any of those guys looking and saying, you know, I want to make some decisions for my long-term future.
Chris, I want to ask you about your strategy with your list management. Last year you went Rockliffe, Watts, Motlop, Trengo, McKenzie and Lindsay Thomas. And I know you didn't give up a lot for them, but you did still fill your list with six guys who are experienced and have been around a fair while. And then I've heard recently Ken Hinckley said you planned for a while to go to the draft this time around. I was confused by that, in what direction you're looking to go as a football club.
Yeah, well, that's fair if you're confused about that, Matthew. I don't think that there's any confusion in what Ken said at the time. I mean, you know, you talk about those six players, three of those guys were on one-year contracts. You know, the other three were guys that we wanted to bring into the club to fill a need, and where a lot of other clubs, you know, look to their state league team as solely about development, we have an element of performance in that. Now, we were disappointing last year. We thought that you know, Trent Lindsay and Jack Trengo, as an example, would you know, play some pretty good footy at SRFL level and help develop our younger talent. We probably didn't get the outcomes that we wanted at SRFL level as well as AFL level last year. But you know, to suggest that those six confused our strategy, I think is probably a step far, Matthew. If you're looking at the three guys who did come in, as you say, two under free agency and one for, I think it was pick 31. You know, yes, they didn't have career best years, but also, you know, they certainly showed glimpses of why we brought them in throughout the year. Now, we want more consistency from that. We want more consistency from our group as well as those guys. And ultimately, you know, time will tell whether they were the correct decisions or not. You know, we have gone, you know, free agency, trade, and then the following year draft to the last few, if you have a look back at strategy. As Ken said, you know, this year is one where we've pegged a while out that we were going to attack the draft. So, I hope I've been able to, unconfuse you.
I just want to ask, so did you thought you were in the premiership window, by that recruiting, in my opinion, for this year? Obviously you failed in that, but then now you're going to the draft. Do you still feel you're in the premiership window next season, or do you feel like you've got to re-establish yourself and rebuild and reload for maybe a premiership in two or three years' time? How do you view that?
Yeah, look, I guess we don't look at things in premiership windows as much as to say, well, you know, we think we've got a list who can compete and compete really strongly. Now, yeah, we were disappointing last year. There's no hiding from that, and the club, I think, has been upfront in suggesting that our outcomes last year weren't where we thought we would end up. Now, that's not to suggest that there's not a whole heap of reasons for that, whether it be, you know, game plan, strategy, you know, coaching, players. You know, we're all in this together, and the reality is we think we've got a list that is better than where it finished last year. So we'll attack the draft this year, but that's not to suggest that that we don't think we're going to be really competitive next year. And you've seen now there's been plenty of pundits who have got situations wrong where they've excluded clubs from premiership contention, you know, far too early. And we would hope that that with what we can do through this trade period and the draft period, that we're highly competitive again next year and pushing to finish far better than what we did this year.
Did getting the players that you brought in last year on reasonable contracts, did that affect your ability to keep Jared Pollock this year?
No. The reality about our salary cap situation is that we've got limits that we set for players on our list, and we're either willing to go above them to secure someone, or we're not. And in Jared's situation, we've got the capability if we wanted to go down that path. But what that does to the rest of your decisions from there, it's a really simplistic message to send, just to pay whatever you need to pay to keep one player.
Yeah.
We've got a list of 45 that we need to continue to balance, and we're not going to make individual decisions to keep one player over what we think is a strategy for our TPP for the whole club. So, it's not an issue of not having the money. It's a principal issue of what we want to achieve, not only this year, but in contracts into the future.
And Chris, you've got 3 picks inside 27 right now. That could go to 4 when the Jared Pollock deal gets done. Picks 9 and 10 you'll have. Do you try and initiate conversations with the Gold Coast to try and get one of those early picks to bring in a Jack Lukosius and Isaac Rankin to target those South Australian young players? Are those conversations you're having with rival clubs at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, look, our goal for the entire trade and draft period is to maintain as much talent on our list as we can right now, but also to get high up in the draft as we possibly can as well. So, there's a number of South Australian players this year who look like they're going to go at the top of the draft order, as well as the King brothers and Walsh certainly going to go high in the draft. So, as you say, we've got some draft capital. We did some work last year to make sure that we we're into this draft in a pretty significant way. So if we get to a point where we think we want to package up a couple of picks to move up into the draft, well, we're in a good position to do that. That will unfold throughout the trade period, but fair to say that we're open to moving up the draft order, and the reality is probably going to be that we would need to if we were interested in the players that you just mentioned, Mitch. So, nothing's off the table at the moment, and I'm sure that those conversations will be had with the teams above us in the draft order over the next week or so.
Chris, thanks so much for your time.
Good on you guys. Thank you.